Morning, everybody. Right. This morning, we're going to continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit as taught by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5. As you may remember, we've discussed the baptism in the Holy Spirit and found that this is a gift which can be given to us from Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can demand as our right. It's not something that we can earn or deserve. It is purely a gift from God to enable us to successfully live the Christian life in the fullness that God desires for us. If we're born again, if we're new creations in Christ, if we have a deep desire to follow and serve Christ, then we're able to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit which He gives to us. We've also seen in our text this morning, which I didn't read, is Galatians 5:22-23, that Paul is telling Christians in the church in Galatia that they should have and should manifest in their lives the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We've been studying these nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit that Paul lists, and now we've come to the seventh one, which is faithfulness. Now, anyone who is a regular churchgoer, and especially those who are born again of the Spirit of God, will have heard the term faith and faithfulness many times. But what does this word really mean? What is faithfulness? How do you understand faith? The Oxford Dictionary defines faith as complete trust or confidence, firm belief, especially without logical proof. And as Christians, do we have such faith? If so, in what do we have such faith? Well, the answer, of course, is that we have faith in Almighty God. But the definition we've just read speaks of confidence and trust without logical proof. Well, our trust and confidence in God is because we know Him to be faithful. We know because we've experienced His faithfulness in our own lives and in our own experiences. And in addition, we have the testimony of the Bible, which tells of the faithfulness of God since the creation of the world. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments." And Psalm 33 verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does." But then I began to consider people who claim that they have no faith. And I found that I really couldn't think of anyone who has no faith. Everyone has faith. In fact, our whole lives are built upon faith. People place faith in doctors when they go to the surgeries without checking to see whether the doctor has proper credentials. And after that, they take all the drugs that the doctor prescribes without knowing what's in them. Then we hear about the countless accidents that take place in trains and planes and cars. But people still place their faith in them. And if we get down to some basic stuff, how many of you have eaten in a restaurant or cafe in the past week? Did you know what they put in the food that you eat? What was the state of the kitchens? Are the staff even properly trained? Probably not, but you ate it anyway. You had faith that nothing would happen. Or at least not to you. Countless people die from smoking, drinking and drugs, and yet people have this faith in themselves that they can control these habits and nothing will happen to them. So my point is that every person has faith in something or other. The question is, to what extent? And of course, there are different kinds of faith. I heard one example of great faith with a young woman who was very much in love with her boyfriend. And she started bringing him to her parents' home, and the parents became very concerned about some of his ways. So they took their daughter on one side and asked if she was doing the right thing by seeing him, because they didn't have a very good feeling about him. And the young woman replied, "I don't know what you're talking about. If he wasn't a good man, would he be doing 5,000 hours of community service?" Often we believe what we want to believe, regardless of the truth. And this is where the Apostle Paul wants to shed some light in helping us to understand the gift of faithfulness in Christians, in followers of Jesus Christ. Let's consider two aspects of faithfulness for our coming encouragement and strengthening. The first and foremost, of course, is, as we saw earlier, that God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, we have a very simple, powerful and beautiful verse. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. We're encouraged by such direct promises of faithfulness from God. However, we also need to understand the scripture truthfully, so we're not disappointed. That verse clearly states that it is for those in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The New Testament teaches the same message to us time and again, that the more we have this understanding and relationship with God, the stronger our faith becomes. And quite often we seem to apply a different set of standards of faith when it comes to God in comparison to our day-to-day life. For instance, does any one of us stay at home 3 or 4 times a month because we don't feel like going to work? We go the rest of the time so the boss should be happy. But do we think like that about our church attendance? We expect more faithfulness and reliability from things and people of life, and yet many people don't want to take their faith seriously enough to service and worship God faithfully. One of the problems in our modern society is that anything that we don't get paid for is voluntary. Therefore, there's no obligation, no duty to be faithful and reliable. But the Bible has a higher standard for Christians to show their faithfulness because we have Jesus Christ in our lives and because we've committed to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. Paul Little, in a book entitled How to Give Away Your Faith, explains faith quite well. He says, "Faith gives our lives an amazing new perspective. Faith acknowledges God's sovereign control, but is not fatalistic. Fatalism submits to a blind, impersonal force over which we've no control. Faith is the providence of God, yields willingly to a loving heavenly Father who sees the 2 sparrows that fall to the ground and who numbers the hair on each head. Faith is a far cry from fatalism, and in that difference there is great comfort." But I would also suggest that there's a difference between faith and faithfulness. And the difference is in between having blind faith in things or people and of putting that faith into practice. And I believe what Paul is talking about is the practical outworking of our faith, that which would probably be referred to as reliability, dependability, trustworthiness. We find in many places in the Bible faithfulness is praised. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 17, Paul calls Timothy, "my beloved and faithful servant in the Lord." In the parable of the talents, Jesus calls the ones who were faithful and responsible with their talents, "well done, good and faithful servants. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the same is true in our own faithfulness. We're to be faithful to whatever we're entrusted with. It doesn't matter how big or how small, how important or insignificant. What matters is whether others can rely on us when we make a commitment to serve. Jesus told a parable in Matthew 21 where he talks about the man who had 2 sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, "Oh, I will, sir." But he didn't. He didn't go. So which of these 2 did what his father wanted? And the crowd said, "The first." So how do we measure our faithfulness as a Christian? Are we like the first son, although initially reluctant, did go and do what he was asked to do? Or are we like the second son who promised to do what he was asked, but failed to follow the promise through with action? Do others find us dependable, reliable, trustworthy, honest and faithful? Do others find Christians tearing the character and reputations of others apart instead of building each other up? Do they see us as one body with many parts working together in unity, or do they find us rarely united on anything that matters? And this is something for each one of us to take stock of and examine ourselves and seek God's guidance where we fall short. The second challenge is, to whom and to what and how are we faithful? Faithfulness is never a negative quality if you follow it sincerely. We may be misguided in our beliefs and approaches, but that's where the Word of God, prayer, and the fellowship of other believers can be of great help. As I was sort of trying to summarize what faithfulness was and how to sort of explain it, I came across about 6 or 7 things that I think are really important for us to know and to do. And the first one is that faithfulness to God should come first. Yeah. Now why? Well, why? Because He is always faithful and willing to forgive our faults and give us a fresh start. He's already done that through His Son Jesus Christ. The death and resurrection of Christ has cleansed us from all impurities. So the ball is now in our court. The act of being faithful is on our shoulders. And then faithfulness to family. It gives me no pleasure to quote the statistics that I read the other day, that 1 in every 2 marriages in North America ends up in divorce. So bad is it that apparently one music director of a band that plays at wedding ceremonies encourages his band to do their best, because the chances are that they'll be playing for one of the other partners at their second and third weddings. Unfortunately, the statistics in Great Britain are not as bad as those in America, but no one can deny that we're moving in that direction. And I don't want to make the matter trivial, because I'm fully aware that some people are in the most impossible marriages. But one of the core promises in most marriage ceremonies is that each will be true and faithful to the other until death do us part. And that is sometimes very difficult and takes great commitment. And then we need faithfulness to children and parents. And many struggle to fit into this requirement. There's a lot of strife in families. Parents don't talk to children and vice versa. They just shout at each other or ignore each other. And it's not often that they sit down and actually talk. But this only breeds more misunderstanding and anger. We need to ensure that we are faithful to our children, and we encourage our children to be faithful to us. And then there's faithfulness to the church, which should come before all other institutions, and you can draw your own conclusions in that regard. And faithfulness to our friends is important. If you're not faithful to your friends, you'll not have very many friends. Faithfulness to the Word of God, the Bible, is indispensable. Because without the Word of God, without reading the Bible, we don't know the Word of God. And without reading the Bible and listening to the Word of God, we are lost. And faithfulness to prayer and fellowship. That is essential to keep us close to God. Faithfulness to your employers. I think faithfulness to your employer is profitable because it exhibits your character to them. If you were interviewing people for a job, you were an employer interviewing people for a job, and you got a CV from somebody that was full of how this person is really faithful and you can trust and trustworthy and all that, and you get another CV from someone that says, well, it's all right, but, you know, is all right, which one would you take? Faithfulness to your employers. They are the ones that are providing, under God's guidance, your living. And faithfulness to yourself. That builds character and a sense of accomplishment. How many people have a real poor sense of their own worthiness? It doesn't matter what we think we are. It doesn't matter what my opinion of myself is. What is the most important is what the opinion of God is for us. And what God thinks about me is far more important than what I think about me. We need faithfulness to the character, faithfulness to who we are in God. The Bible teaches Christians in 1 Corinthians 4 verses 1 and 2. So then, men ought to be regarded as servants of Christ, and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And that establishes that faithfulness is very important, and it's a requirement as opposed to superior talent or unusual cleverness. There's some very clever people, some very talented people, but you wouldn't trust them to go to the bank for you. The life of faith, day by day, is just a continuing recognition of the risen, living Jesus Christ. Faithfulness rewards you and others, and if you're faithful, it's good to feel trusted and relied upon. Faithfulness is recognized by the Lord. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." He is faithful to listen to our cries and respond in compassion. Faithfulness is requested and rewarded by the Lord. Revelation 2 verse 10 says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Now that is a phenomenal promise. That is a glorious promise. It's a promise by Almighty God to all Christians, and it's one that we can look forward to. This life will not be easy. It was never promised to be easy. We live in a broken and troubled world. But we live in this world, and we have a God who is faithful, and he has promised there he will be faithful to us and give us the crown of life. Now, you can't ask for anything better than that. May God bless us and find us faithful in the situations in which we find ourselves during the coming week, and while we serve the Lord and prepare for eternity with him. Amen.